Here we go again. It seems that every Monday when we examine the passages for the coming Sunday, which is the third Sunday after Pentecost on June the 29th, we appear to run into contradictions in the Bible. And that's what we're going to be taking a look at. In the meantime, you can turn to Romans chapter 7. And on this particular day, Monday, June the 23rd, in the year of our Lord 2014, I do want to thank the wonderful folks at Grace Lutheran in Pagedale, Missouri. The first time I had preached there, it's a very, very large building, and unfortunately, the air conditioning was out. But fortunately, the service began at 9 a.m., so the heat really didn't hit until a little later in the morning. Look forward to being with those folks again. We'll see what God has in store for us. But welcome. I know a number of you said you would be listening to Law and Gospel at 9:30 a.m. Monday through Friday. By the way, when we talk about this topic of once more appearing to have a contradiction in the Bible, you can phone in and speak about it. It's in the St. Louis area. The phone number is 821-0850. And anywhere in North America, including St. Louis, 1-800-730-2727. All right, what's this contradiction apparently that I'm speaking of? It's found in Romans chapter 7. Listen to verse 10. The very commandment that promised life proved to be death to me. Then verse 12, so the law is holy, and the commandment is holy and righteous and good. Wow. Do you understand why people are confused about the distinctions between law and gospel? When one verse says, the commandments proved to be death to me, and the other verse says, well, no, the commandment is holy and righteous and good. What is going on here? I find, and if you've been listening to Law and Gospel for any number of the 18 years I've been on, you will note that one of my favorite techniques is to try and make the scriptures as clear as possible, and that means to give simple analogies in order to make the point. So, in thinking of this verse, here's the analogy I would like to use. Are prescription drugs good or bad? Well, it depends. If you go to the doctor and let's say you have migraine, headaches, and he says, well, here's a prescription drug that you can take, and you do it 2 times a day. Well, I would say that would be good if that got rid of the migraine headaches. But right on the bottle, it'll say something, never take more than 4 a day. And you know that prescription drugs are used by some people to attempt to commit suicide. So, are prescription drugs good or bad? It all depends on the use of how you use them. This is also true with the law. This helps us to understand why, on the one hand, Paul is talking about that the law proved to be death, but the law is holy, righteous, and good. It's how you use it. So we'll take a look at this text and make it clear, using the prescription analogy, how the law can be deadly. In verse 4, he says, you have died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit for God. Now, what was this idea of dying to the law? There are some denominations that think it means that we no longer have to obey the laws of the Bible. And of course, they have official positions that are in support of homosexuality, abortion, women ordination, and the like. Even though the Bible is very clear that those items are an abomination before Almighty God. And so he goes on, while we were living in the flesh, and that means prior to our conversion, or even after our conversion according to the old Adam, our sinful passions, aroused by the law, were at work in our members to bear fruit for death. Now, how can you simply clarify what Paul is talking about here? Well, what he is saying is this, that when we are living in the flesh, our sinful nature was at work, and we bore fruit for death. And what was that fruit? It was called sin. In fact, later on in chapter 7, which isn't part of the text this week, Paul goes on to say, I do not do what I want to do, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. Well, why is the law good when we are sinning? Well, he tells us in verse 13, did that which is good then bring death to me, namely the law? By no means. It was sin producing death in me through what is good, in order that sin might be shown to be sin, and through the commandment might become sinful beyond measure. What is Paul saying here? He is saying the good part of the law is that it wakes us up to our sinful condition. Particularly as an unbeliever, you can do nothing but sin. What? An unbeliever never does a good work? No, not what God considers to be a good work, because he doesn't look at the action of the work, he looks at the motivation. And every unbeliever, when they do a good work, do so out of either hope of reward or fear of punishment. The Christian, on the other hand, bears fruits of righteousness as we are motivated by the love of Jesus Christ. But when you don't believe in the Lord Jesus, then you can never do a good work. That's, without me, you can do nothing. We bear fruit only when we are fully saved. Now, because the law moves us to sin, and I'll explain why that happens, Paul says in verse 7, what shall we say then? That the law is sin? It's kind of like prescriptions. Because you can overtake prescriptions and become ill, even to the point of death, does that mean that prescription medicine is terrible? By no means. And then he goes on and talks about, if it had not been for the law, I would not have known sin. For I would not have known what it is to covet if the law had not said, you shall not covet. Now, what does that mean, you shall not covet? Well, it means that you are not to covet things that are not yours, kind of telling God, why didn't I have this? But sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, produced in me all kinds of covetousness. Now, this is really important to understand. It's like when I was a kid. Remember the rules in the household? Well, just try that with your child. Let's say your child's 5 years old, and you tell him, okay, I'm going to be going out to the garage for a while, and while I'm there, do not go into the kitchen. Mom made some cookies, and we don't want to eat them right now, so do not go into the kitchen. So you go to the garage. Where does a five-year-old go? Right into the kitchen. You see, the rule now sets up a situation where you can disobey it. And because of our pride, which at the center of is I, we love to disobey the law. We don't like anybody telling us what to do. That's why people get speeding tickets. That's why people end up in jail for various crimes. Because the law actually informs us what we would like to enjoy. That's why the whole matter of sex education in public schools is really important. Because some of that sex education opens up avenues of sin that your child would never have known about had sex education not been taught the way it's taught in a public school. So the law is good in that it does show me what sin is. Now, why is it good to know that you're a sinner? It's good to know you're a sinner because apart from that sin, what need do you have for forgiveness? A lot of people don't think they need the forgiveness that the church has to offer through Jesus Christ simply because they're not as bad a sinner as God considers them to be. So the preaching of the law has one purpose, and that is to show you what a terrible sinner you are, in order that the hearing of the gospel might really make a difference. It's like going to a doctor and you have a pain in your leg and you don't realize that it is really a back problem. So if he gives you medicine to fix the pain in your leg, that may not work because it's really maybe a sciatic nerve or something that's causing the problem. So the doctor recommends the proper prescription. Even though your leg is hurting, it's really due to the nerves in your back. And when they are comforted, then your leg feels better. So you understand how a prescription is very, very good, but if it's used, or I should say, if it's misused, then it can cause death. And that's what Paul is talking about in regard to the law. He says, verse 9, I was once alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin came alive and I died. You see, as soon as you hear, thou shalt not covet, you know what you start thinking about? Oh, I'm pretty good because I'm not coveting anything. And that very statement is a sin. So the commandments produce all kinds of ways in which sin is now available to me. And why do we sin? Because from our point of view, sinning is more fun than not sinning. Yes, that's exactly what we believe, teach, and confess. That the commandments are there because the sinful nature of man loves to do the things which the commandments prohibit. We like to become our own God. So when the Bible says, on the one hand, boy, the law is really, really good, but the law brings death. That's not a contradiction at all, because it's a problem of misuse. As I said, our phone numbers are 821-0850 in the St. Louis area. Toll free, 1-800-730-2727. Let's go speak with Bill. Bill, you're on the air.
Good morning, Pastor Becker, and have a great week.
Thank you.
My comment is, I don't know that in sermons, okay, maybe I don't understand sermons, but I never get that preaching of the law that really takes me to death in the sermon. But if I go to Bible class or I have a private conversation with the pastor on the law, I get that. I get that death sentence. So I'm just wondering how it is that in our sermons, I get the gospel from the sermon, but I never really fully realize the death sentence in the sermons, and I'm not sure I'm supposed to. But do you understand what I'm saying?
No, I not only understand it. President Matthew Harrison of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod has been saying recently that the biggest problem we have in the Synod, in our denomination, is preaching. And what he means by that is that there is a lack of proper law and proper gospel. Many sermons are very good in the sense that nothing is said that is wrong, but they're mainly like lectures. For instance, a number of times during, say, Christmas or Easter, you'll hear a whole sermon about the events of what occurred at that time. And a sermon just pointing to the event does not create saving faith, because you have to point also to the promises connected to those events. And unfortunately, if you don't hear the law properly, you don't really see the wonderful message of the promises. So it's not at all unusual when I go around preaching, and I have to admit I'm preaching at a number of churches that don't have a full-time pastor. Often at the back when I'm shaking hands, people will say, boy, you really clarified something that I never understood that way. And the reason that is happening, I've trained myself, as I did today. How can the law be both good and evil? Well, it's the use we make of it, and I use prescription medicine as an analogy to help understand that. And see, that's how I best learn, when Jesus uses analogies, parables, etc., in order to come to an understanding of what the text is saying.
And I think myself as a layperson, okay?
Yes.
When I'm talking to my neighbor or my children or whomever I may be talking to, I too sometimes only talk about the events. I don't seem to ever give the frightful conditions of the sin
one of my favorite questions, if you believe that Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead, will you go to heaven? And I say this among many Lutheran groups, seminars I lead. Rarely does a Lutheran put their hand up and say that I'm not going to heaven. They almost all think that they're going to heaven if they believe that Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead. And then I make the point, well, wait a minute. The Pharisees knew that. They knew he died. He was there. They knew he rose from the dead. They paid the soldiers to lie about it. They thought it was a trick of Beelzebub. And the devils know that Jesus died and rose. See, that's not saving faith. What saving faith is that you believe that Jesus died on the cross for me and that he rose from the dead for me.
Absolutely. So I'm hoping that the Lord, through the work of the Holy Spirit, will grant me a new boldness in proclaiming not just the law, of course, but the gospel. But the law first. They have people, I think, I don't do that well.
No, what you might do with your pastor, compliment him on his Bible studies or your private conversations where the law and gospel comes through, and then you ask him this question: how come I don't hear that as often as I would like in the sermon? Is there some reason that the sermon doesn't do that? I've used this analogy, and it appears to help a number of pastors. A Bible study is like going to a medical classroom, and the professor on the board is drawing how you do open heart surgery, because you're going to be a doctor and you want to know how to do this. So he uses slides or whatever. A sermon is actually undergoing open heart surgery. In other words, a Bible study can give the facts, clarify the meanings, and that's kind of what I'm doing today with the two kinds of views of the law. But in a sermon, every person in the pew needs to hear the law and how they fail to meet the glory of God. And then the gospel is very simple. That's how God fixed the problem for them.
Thank you very much.
Thanks so much for calling. And anybody else can call here, no problem at all, in the St. Louis area, 821-0850, toll-free 1-800-730-2727. Now, one of the things I do when I go around the country is I do PowerPoint presentations, like on CFW Walther on Law and Gospel, or the Luther on the Heidelberg Disputation. I now have a website where for just $10 a month, you get four items each month, or actually sometimes five if there's 5 weeks in the month. You get one every week. And these do make a big difference in understanding law and gospel. The way I've come to teach it is I use charting. And we talked about this on Monday. You can go back to Monday's broadcast to hear more about this last Monday. Living under the law versus living under the gospel. Come to think of it, I think that was on Wednesday, because it was Insight Wednesday that we did that. The point we're trying to make here is that when you live under the law, you're thinking like Satan. When you live under the gospel, you're thinking like God. So just last week, I put up one of Billy Graham's sermons, and I examined each statement in the sermon. And there were about, I think, 20 or 30 statements. And then I placed the statement either under the law, which means it was inappropriate, or under the gospel, which means it was appropriate. And so I'll just give you a couple of examples. He starts off his sermons, what can you do to be assured that you are saved? Now, that is an inappropriate question if you're serious about it. The answer to the question is you can't do anything. But Billy Graham spends a whole sermon as to what you can do in order to be saved. And remember, he has people come up forward and then confess their sinners and invite Christ into their heart. And that becomes the assurance that you are saved, something you do. So I went throughout the whole sermon, and half of the statements he made were really on the left side, living under the law, that they weren't appropriate. And the other half were appropriate. So that's week 40, by the way, for those of you who are already on the item. What happens, it's called a drip membership site, and you get one item every week. And so if you ever want to get ahead, don't hesitate to give me a ring, and we can make some arrangements where we'll allow you to have even more. But the website to go to is lawandgospel101.com. That's lawandgospel101.com. What we're talking about today is, once more, we appear to have a contradiction in the scriptures that on the one hand, the law produces death, but on the other hand, it's holy. Now, how does it produce death? It's the curse of the law. In the day that you sin, death is the result. Now, we saw that with Adam and Eve. Now, some people say, no, they didn't really die. Oh, yes, they did. They died spiritually. There was a separation of Adam and Eve from God. Remember, they went and tried to hide in a bush, where God, of course, is, since he's omnipresent. You can't get away from God. So what we're seeing here is that sin produces the curse of death. Now, how did you get out of that? What did you do? Well, the answer to that is nothing. It's impossible for you to get out of the curse of death by doing anything. So God decided to do something. He sent his only begotten Son into the flesh so that he could truly be a human being dying for sins. Remember in Revelation 5, even the strong angel is unable to save anybody. But a human being by the name of Jesus came and took upon himself the curse of the law. My God, why have you forsaken me? Well, I've forsaken you because you have the sins of the world upon your shoulders. This is Good Friday. See, there's another paradox. Why do we call it good? It's the day God died. We call it good because it's good benefits for us. And when we come to understand these things, what a difference it makes in our salvation. Because in our salvation, we have come to the point where God wants us to be one with him at the very same time that he is one with the Son and the Holy Spirit. So, law and gospel, when somebody says, is the law good or bad? The answer is, it all depends on your use of it. If you use the law in order to become righteous in God's sight, then it leads to death. But if you use the law properly, it's called the third use of the law, in realizing what God's will is for us, then we find out that that's really very good for us. It's a big distinction, but it's a distinction that we need to thank God for all the time. Law and gospel. And if you're not hearing proper law, where you're accused, depending on the text for the day, of falling short of the glory of God, then speak to the pastor and ask him why in Bible classes it comes out pretty clear, but it's really not part of the sermon. And by God's grace, maybe the pastor will start reading a little bit more on law and gospel. There's some great books out there, not only by C.F.W. Walther, but by other professors at the seminaries, in order to help somebody come to an understanding of what is the proper use of law and what is the improper use of law. On tomorrow's Law and Gospel, we're going to be looking at a hymn, you know, walking with Jesus, but we find out it includes suffering and, in fact, gladly dying with Jesus. Boy, that doesn't sound like a very good option. Why would anybody want to become a Christian if there's a promise that there's going to be suffering and even death with Jesus? That's what we're going to talk about with Reverend Mark Smith on tomorrow's Law and Gospel. I'm Tom Baker. Thanks so much for listening. Till tomorrow then, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO. You can write Pastor Baker at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. We are the messenger of good news, KFUO.